Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The Old Testament reading appointed for this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded in the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is the epistle reading from the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, the first 10 verses. And this reading also serves as today's sermon text. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and he said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Did you know that you can pass a police officer who's sitting on the roadside and not get a ticket? I know, it's hard to believe, but it can be done. You know, in your peripheral vision, as you're going by, you spot the police officer holding his radar at you, and you let off the gas real quick with your foot. But there is a way that you can sail right on past him without him ever having to worry about him giving you a ticket. Go the speed limit. You see, when you go the speed limit, you don't have to worry about getting a ticket, losing points on your driver's license, or having to worry about your insurance rates going up. You see, submitting to the governing authorities is actually quite freeing. You can drive stress-free and relaxed because you know that there really isn't any reason for the police officer to pull you over. Paul warns us in our text today that if we do not obey, we will fear the wrath of God. He says, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And the same principle actually works for all other areas of life as well. I mean, if you pay your taxes honestly, it's less threatening if an audit happens to come along. Don't ingest illegal drugs, and you don't have to worry about making stupid or irrational choices that might lead to violence or even jail time. Obey the laws and you will dramatically reduce your worries and problems when it comes to the governing authorities. And that is why God actually has instituted governing authorities. He knows that the best way for us to live is to have everyone submit to the laws that He has set to govern our land. Do what is right and life goes along fairly well. Break the law and life breaks down. God wants us to submit, to obey, to pay taxes, to honor the government, respect those in authority, and do what is right. Otherwise, we would have everyone just doing their own thing and there'd be nothing but a bunch of anarchy and chaos. So when we refuse to submit, we choose to disobey, to disrespect, to dishonor those who are in authority, we end up not only hurting ourselves and those around us, but even God Himself, which makes matters even worse. But our selfish nature wants to rebel against those who govern us. We hear about submitting to and honoring elected officials, paying taxes and respecting those with authority. We tend to address all of this in more of a negative way. A friend of mine told me about a bumper sticker he once saw. It said, "Bad cop, no donut." At first, this seems lighthearted, this joke, and it kind of brought a smile to my face. But then as I thought about it, I thought about the underlying words of disrespect for those who serve me and protect me. I just realized just how easy it is for us to criticize, to tear down, to denigrate our governing authorities. And this problem runs deep. Instead of positive ads on television these days when politicians are running, what do we have? Negative ads that do all they can to dig the dirt up on their opponent, to expose their sin and their corrupted side. We see mean-spirited debates on Capitol Hill and even on our own state governments. Vicious battles between Republicans and Democrats that carry right on over into our conversations with one another. Yes, it's easy, and it probably even expected, really, to be disrespectful to those in authority over us. And I'm not saying that every elected official does what's right and has only our best interest in mind. Don't get me wrong. It's no secret that there is corruption in police forces, that there is corruption among congressmen, senators, governors, and presidents. We've watched how those who govern us can turn into criminals, misusing their power to take advantage of others. After all, they are public figures, and so we get to always see everything that they do. Yet God does not let us use those who abuse their office to be a reason for us to be disrespectful and disobedient. The institution that God has created here in government is much bigger than those who actually hold the office. Yes, President Nixon resigned because of Watergate. President Clinton's actions with an intern were criminal. But the presidency still holds our respect and our honor, regardless of what these men did, because it is a governing authority instituted by God for our good. We have heard about the police who have accepted bribes, and we've used excessive force on innocent people. But God still wants us to respect the police. We may not like what the legislature is doing with our tax dollars, but God still wants us to pay taxes. No, the failures of those who hold government offices do not give us the right for disobedience and disrespect. Make no mistake about it, God's good and gracious will includes the establishment of government, as we learn here in this epistle reading. Long ago, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken throughout the entire Roman world. And a young couple by the name of Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, and there Mary gave birth to a son. Jesus was born there just as the ancient prophecies had foretold, and his parents were in Bethlehem because of the decree of the governing authorities. God uses the government to publicly document his fulfillment and his will being carried out in this incident. And then we remember what happens 30 years later. A governor by the name of Pontius Pilate hears a case. It's brought before him by the governing authorities of the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin, about a man named Jesus, and he sees no guilt in the man. He wants to let him go. The Jewish leaders become enraged. He knows, as a politician, what that could mean for Rome. And so he pronounces the death sentence upon him to get rid of the problem. So the order is given. And Jesus is led away by Roman soldiers to be crucified. You see, when those nails were driven into his hands and into his feet, they were driven there by the governing authorities. Yet, all of this being done according to God's plan and his will. Our salvation, our forgiveness, our eternal life, and even our status in God's kingdom were all granted to us in this action by the governing authorities. God indeed uses the governing authorities to carry out his will. And there are so many more examples I could point you to throughout the New Testament that you probably can recall without any problem about how God used the governing authorities to carry out his will. Many times the disciples and the Apostle Paul and many Christians in the early church were persecuted and at times even protected by the governing authorities. And some of those authorities even did all they could to try and wipe out Christianity altogether. Yet the persecution only caused the church to grow. And it grew stronger in carrying out its mission to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the world. And many new congregations formed. And yes, God will use the governing authorities to carry out his will. When I lived in Illinois, there was a highly respected politician who lived in our area, who is a member of one of our Missouri Synod Lutheran churches by the name of John Shimkus. And he still actually represents Illinois' 20th congressional district of the House of Representatives even to this day. And he was asked a question about what it means to be serving as a politician and to be a Christian at the same time in one of our Lutheran Witness magazines back in 2000. And this is what he said, at least one blurb. The majority of members, that is politicians, are moral men and women committed to their families, to faith, to love of country and ideology. As in any profession, bickering and sin do exist, but godliness and high moral standards also thrive in the political arena, and our government, though they seldom grab the headlines. In this same article, Shimkus wisely encouraged us to view our government as a gift from God on the basis of these verses that we have here today and others within the scripture. Especially these words from Paul, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." One of the professors at Concordia Seminary tells of a time when he was meeting with a student who had four children, and a fifth one was now on the way, and as a student, he and his wife were struggling to make ends meet. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have enough money. They were in great debt. And he was definitely reluctant to ask for any help from the government as far as assistance for food or medical care. This professor encouraged him that he should use whatever government programs were available to him. Why did he offer such advice? Because there are many Christians in this country, including myself, who faithfully pay our taxes. And he went on to tell him that some of those tax dollars are wasted and thrown away on frivolous programs, but there are some, thankfully, that are helpful to those who are in situations just like the seminarian had found himself in. Because God also uses the government at times to help those who are in desperate need. And when our tax dollars are collected, God often uses it to bring good into the lives of those in this country and even around the world. And of that student, as I understood, did receive financial help and from the governing authorities, and they were able to manage to get through that difficult time. Paul's words are wise when he speaks about submission and obeying and respect and honor of the governing authorities, even when we have to pay taxes. And through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he gives us sound advice whenever he writes, "Would you like to have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good." Thanks be to God for Jesus for the times we have failed to do this, and praise be to God for our governing authorities. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.